Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Just coming off vacation, my home is down in Dallas, Texas. One of the evenings we spent down there, we spent horseback riding. It was a dark evening, a little bit outside Dallas. Stars were in the sky, rather clear evening. And on the way home, not on horseback, but in the car, on the way home, several of the people, we were all caravanning together back to a restaurant, saw something in the sky. I think we eventually concluded it must have been a falling star, but one of the first questions that my brother asked me after he got out of the car when we got to the restaurant was, "Did you see the UFO?" Well, I hadn't seen it. I was convinced without having seen it and without having to see it that it was probably what we finally concluded it was, a falling star. Unusual. A little bright for one of those, but I didn't think a UFO. I didn't think a spaceship. A couple days later, the news broke. The Raelians, a UFO cult that believes that life on Earth began by aliens from space cloning themselves, that's us, claim to have cloned the first human baby. They say they can achieve immortality the same way their alien ancestors did. What are Christians to think about UFOs, the claims of those who have had encounters of various kinds, who claim to have been abducted? Why the craze for UFOs and the unidentified in the sky? We'll talk about that tonight on Issues Etc. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's the 12th of January, our first live show for 2003. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment as we talk about UFOs and extraterrestrial beings, our phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have that email address live here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, some of you will be expecting during this hour to have hearing a conversation on the crisis in Christian publishing. We do apologize for that. We had one of our guests, our principal guest for that interview, come down with the flu this evening, so we will be rescheduling that show for you. It is great to be back on the air. In Cleveland, we're being heard on AM 1220 WHK. A special thanks to Pastor Peter Mills and our friends at Grace Lutheran Church in Akron for sponsoring Issues Etc. in Cleveland. And we'd like to welcome our new church sponsor in Detroit, St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Clinton Township, Michigan. Thank you very much to all our sponsors for your support. Our guest during this hour to talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials, Ken Samples. He's Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's founder and president of the Augustine Fellowship Study Center and co-author of a new book titled Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Now, the Raelians had their big press conference some weeks back. It seems to be falling apart for them. They claim to have cloned the first human baby. Laying aside the cloning issue, the Raelians, is this a UFO cult?
Yes, indeed it is. In fact, it's the largest UFO cult or religion in the world. A couple of years ago, I saw statistics that it ranged from maybe 25 to 30,000, but recently I've seen some stats that indicate that there may be over 50,000 members of the Raelian movement worldwide. So it's clearly the largest UFO cult or religion in the world.
There are others, Ken?
Dozens here in the United States. It's hard to know how many of them are around the world, and they have been popular since the 1950s. Some have survived, such as the Aetherius Society and a number of others, but most of them are relatively small, but there are quite a number of them.
Now, most listening to us would say, now that's just the fringe, the Raelians and others who actually have cultish beliefs about UFOs and extraterrestrials. We might even include in there, you didn't mention it, but Scientology has something of a UFO spin in some of their cosmology as well. Most would say that's the fringe. But there is a craze for UFOs. How do you explain it?
Well, there are it's interesting. There are a lot of groups that actually talk about UFOs. Even the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, believes that UFOs will visit the planet. There are a variety of people who have talked about UFOs in some of the more common sects of our time. I think UFOs are very popular in America. They're popular in other parts of the world. Todd, the way I explain it, I think that when people are asking questions about life in outer space and the possibility of space travel and being visited by potentially alien beings, I think these questions really kind of tug at some deeper issues like who are we as a human race? Where did we come from? What is our relationship to this incredible universe that we live in such a small little planet? So I think part of the interest in UFOs has to do with some kind of fundamental philosophical and religious questioning. I think it's also true, though, that Hollywood has played this issue to the hilt, and a lot of people find it very entertaining and fascinating, and they're very interested in the question of lights in the sky and little green men.
Okay, let's just kind of take the classic view, or what has come to be the classic view, or the typical view. There is life elsewhere in the universe. This life is super intelligent, capable of faring in space, and they visit Earth on a regular basis and have, to one degree or another, contact with us. That's the basic view of UFOs and extraterrestrials. Is that compatible with Christianity and the teachings of Scripture?
Well, I would say categorically no. As you have described, what is called the extraterrestrial hypothesis, it is this idea that there is this super advanced civilization, or many of them, and they have somehow, through incredible technology, have traversed these incredible distances. And as you mentioned, they're communicating to people, and they're communicating through their envoy or their channel, as Rael is to the Raelians. They all have a specific channeler. There are many problems with UFO cults and religions, and they really run counter to Christianity. First of all, UFO cults are deeply based upon occult beliefs, channeling, which is really nothing more than old-time spiritism or mediumship. But instead of channeling the spirits of the dead, they're channeling, they believe, alien beings from another part of the universe or from another dimension of reality. They believe in astral projection. They believe in a number of Eastern mystical and occult practices and ritual. And when you look at the UFO religions in the world, virtually all of them speak about Jesus. They describe him as an extraterrestrial. They say that he's not God. They claim virtually to every one of them that we're not sinners and that Christianity is not the only way to God. There are many prophets. Even the Raelians believe that there are 40 prophets who've come to the earth, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith. And so it's very clear that UFO religion is based upon occultism, spiritism, Eastern mysticism. And it really has nothing in common, and in fact is antithetical to Christianity.
And what about the average Joe Lunchpail, who, simply laying aside all the occultic spiritist beliefs and the channeling and whatnot, simply believes that there's life on other planets and they've been visiting us in their ships?
Well, certainly there are people who are just interested in the question of life in outer space and related with the possibility of maybe UFOs visiting Earth, and they may have no connection to UFO religion. But there are real difficulties even with those questions. I certainly can't say that all Christians reject the possibility of extraterrestrial intelligence, but for many of us who are theologians and philosophers, we raise very serious questions about these issues. Issues relating to the atonement, issues relating to the doctrine of the incarnation, the uniqueness of Christianity. So So these questions really do touch upon the heart and soul of the historic Christian faith, and there are difficulties in accepting the idea as a Christian that somehow there is life throughout the universe.
I want to talk about some of those difficulties when we come back. Also, just lay out the basic kinds of UFOs, how they can be explained, most of them. But then there's something in your book, Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, Ken, that you call R-UFOs. With only a minute before we go, what is an R-UFO?
Well, we believe, and again, one of the authors is a trained astronomer, professor at Caltech, one of the fine math and science institutions in the country. We believe that 90, maybe as much as 99% of UFOs can be explained naturally. They either are misidentified natural phenomena, they're anything from a planet to a phase of the moon to a falling star, or they're misidentified human phenomena, planes, aircraft, etc., or they are hoaxes, or they come out of a psychiatric condition. But there are, and this is pretty clear in the literature and in the reports, there are residual UFOs. That is, there's a small percentage of UFOs that cannot easily be explained naturally. We call those R-UFOs.
And we'll talk about that when we come back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What role do the Ten Commandments have in the Christian life? Do the Ten Commandments require perfect obedience from a pure heart? Or is it enough that we simply do the best we can? You'll find answers to these questions and more in a great new book called To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. If you'd like to receive this great new resource, call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Or order online. Go to our Issues Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Call Monday through Friday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for this great new book, To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity, 1-800-325-3040. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to have a roundtable discussion with several pro-life leaders on the 30-year anniversary of Roe v. Wade. What's been the cultural impact, the impact on the heart of a nation after 30 years of decriminalized, legalized abortion? How did the U.S. Supreme Court justify its decision 30 years ago? And what abortion procedures were made legal back then? We'll talk about it next week on Issues Etc. with several guests. Now, if you have a question or a comment on the 30-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, post it this week. And we'll try to have our guests respond next Sunday during the program. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org. That's issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find a link to our Issues Etc. forum. Post your question or comment there. The website address again, issuesetc.org. We're talking with Ken Samples about UFOs and extraterrestrials. If you'd like to join us, the phone number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Before the break, we mentioned residual UFOs, that small percentage that you say, Ken, cannot be explained by some natural phenomenon, naturally occurring phenomenon. First, let's talk about those natural explanations for what people see. What do people typically see? What have they seen when they come running in the back door, slamming the screen door, saying, I just saw a UFO?
Well, there are a variety of things. We could, first of all, talk about misidentified natural phenomena. People have seen Venus. Venus every couple of years becomes extremely bright. People see planets and lights in the sky and think that there is something very unusual. Other people see things like you know, an asteroid or a falling star. And thus, to people who are not used to looking at the skies, the ordinary can be extraordinary. And there are a variety of natural phenomena that, you know, can look very unusual and very strange. Even birds with sulfur in their wings could be picked up with radar and things of that nature. And then there are, of course, are a whole host of things that could be called or thought to be UFOs from a purely human point of view. You can have advanced aircraft. I guarantee you, if in the 60s or 70s you saw an SR-71 Blackbird, or if you saw a stealth F-117 fighter today, or a B-2 bomber, the shape of those planes, their incredible speed, would make you think that you'd seen something unusual. One night, saw an advertising plane at night with all of the lights and things on it. It was very unusual. Spotlights. There's just large numbers of things that typically can be explained by people who study these things seriously. And most serious ufologists, that is, people who look at this question from a scientific, from a rational, logical point of view, the vast majority of ufologists believe that at least 90%, if not more, of what people typically report as UFOs have some natural explanation.
Then, very briefly, what do we do with those for which no natural explanation can be proffered, those that simply don't fit into any other phenomenon that we can figure out?
Well, I think that that does exist, and there are even many scientists who are willing to admit that there is a residual number. Now, even though that is a small percentage, anywhere from 1 to 10%, when you consider that there have been literally millions of reports of UFOs over the last 50 years, that number is actually a pretty large number. What are we to think about them? Well, I think a case can be made, Todd, that this residual number of UFOs, that they behave more like paranormal phenomena than they do like natural phenomena. And what I mean by that is that many of these reports have crafts in the sky or unusual things in the sky that make right-angled turns at 15 or 20,000 miles an hour. Well, you know, you and I have made a right turn or a left turn in our car going a little too fast, and we feel the physical forces. That's not possible for a physical craft to do that in the physical universe. They seem to be very deceptive. They have unusual patterns. These ships break apart, slam back together. They disappear and appear. They are very deceptive. They are connected to paranormal type events. And so a number of people, and not just Christian, but this, of course, is the view of our book, we believe that some of these residual UFOs are best explained probably as paranormal reality, as occult reality, than any kind of natural phenomena.
Would you apply a similar explanation to the experiences that some have had with UFOs and their alleged occupants, and those would be extraterrestrials, at least the way they see it, people who claim to have had contact? Or even to have been abducted?
Well, it's the abduction phenomenon is the what we might say the fringe of the UFO phenomenon. But there are more than 5 million people in the United States alone that claim to have been abducted. The phenomenon is being taken more seriously over the last decade or so by people in the mental health professions, but also scientists and other people looking into it. I think there are a variety of possible explanations, many of them natural in terms of explaining the so-called abduction experience. But Todd, it appears to be true that many people who have been abducted have some kind of connection with the paranormal or the occult, and it really seems to be accurate to say that many, many people, if not most people, who claim an abduction experience, become very involved with an Eastern mystical, New Age, occult belief system. So there seems to be a connection between people who make these claims and then what they end up believing in terms of their kind of broader metaphysical worldview.
Folks, I got to admit, this stuff fascinates me. It always has, and I imagine it always will. There's a little part of me that when I stand out under a broad night sky, especially when the sky is dark and the stars are bright, that looks up and expects something, hopes perhaps even for something. I know that it's fiction. I know it's science fiction. I also know that those who have delved deeply into this and into their supposed abduction and UFO experiences often do turn this thing into something of a religion. Whitley Strieber began talking about aliens that invaded his home and family, and now he talks about their religious aims for the human race. Is that simply an isolated incident? I don't think so. You know, we talk about this here on Issues, Etc., because we are concerned not about the fiction of the thing or the speculation of the thing, but about the truth. And if we will have claims that these are true phenomena, these are true experiences, these are realities that we need to deal with, well, we need to test the truth, not only against sound reason and the rules of evidence, but also against Holy Scripture. We'll do that a little bit later as we talk with Ken Samples about UFOs and extraterrestrials. If you're interested in the unvarnished truth, the kind of truth upon which Scripture speaks so clearly, I'm recommending a book to you. It's called To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. You won't find anything about UFOs in there, but you will find the essential teachings of Holy Scripture for every Christian and every Christian family. If you'd like to get the book To All Eternity, you can call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. That's 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the book To All Eternity. You can also order it online. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Call tomorrow morning, 1-800-325-3040. It's our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. We'll be right back. The Apostles' Creed is a confession of faith almost as old as the Christian Church itself. What does this ancient creed have to say to Christians today? And does the Church still need creeds? For answers to these questions, I recommend a new book called To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. Here's how you order this great new resource. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the What's New section, you'll find a link to Concordia Publishing House. Or call 1-800-325-3040 and ask to receive the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, To All Eternity, The Essential Teachings of Christianity. 1-800-325-3040 during regular business hours. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org, click What's New, and there you'll find information on how to order To All Eternity.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
God isn't finished teaching. The whole life of the Christian is shaped by the cross. I'm Pastor Todd Wilkin. Today we begin the question, what is the theology of the cross? First, we need to remember that the cross wasn't just an isolated event in the life of Jesus. The cross was Jesus' whole purpose, goal, and mission. His whole life and ministry was shaped by the fact that he would give his life for the whole world there at the cross. In the same way, the cross isn't just a minor event for us either. The death and resurrection of Jesus affects not only our eternal life, but it shapes and influences our lives here and now. In fact, the whole life of the Christian is shaped by the cross. When we deny the constant influence of the cross in our lives, when we try to leave the cross behind, we rob ourselves of the comfort of the cross. The lifelong task of the Christian is under God's loving hand to learn to embrace the cross of Jesus as it manifests itself in our lives, to find in Jesus' shame our glory, in His weakness our strength, in His death our life, to see in the cross of Jesus who our Savior is and what He has done for us.
Martin Luther once called the doctrine of justification the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. What is the central nature of this teaching, and why is it so important? Here's Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
Paul articulates for us more clearly than anywhere else in Scripture that great biblical doctrine of justification, that as the sinner stands before the righteous judge, he is declared to be not guilty because of that which Christ has done for us. When God the judge looks on us, he sees not our sins, not our failures and our flaws, but the pure white robe of Christ's righteousness. And we are declared to be justified, not guilty, because of that which Christ has done for us.
Issues Etc., the radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century.
Issues Etc. is looking for one member from each Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation to become our official lay representative. Responsibilities simply involve promotion of Issues Etc. in your local church. Now, if you're interested, leave your name, phone number, and mailing address, and your congregation's name, city and state, on our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about UFOs and extraterrestrials with Ken Samples. Ken Samples, our guest, is founder and president of the Augustine Fellowship Study Center. You can check out their website by visiting our website at issuesetc.org. Under that section that's titled Links with Regular Guests, you're going to find a direct link to Ken Samples and the Augustine Fellowship Study Center. You can also call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for the Augustine Fellowship Study Center. The resource line number again, 1-800-737-0172. Ken, early in our conversation, you said that a belief, the kind of the classic belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials, was incompatible with biblical Christianity from the Bible. Make your case.
Well, you know, it's interesting that discussion about the possibility of life in other worlds goes as far back as the medieval period with the great Catholic philosopher Thomas Aquinas. And Aquinas speculated about the possibility of whether God could have created other worlds, other beings, and he raised questions about how those beings, if they existed, would then relate to the truth of the Christian faith. To the doctrine of the incarnation, Christ coming in the flesh as God and man, and as to Christ's death on the cross, the way in which God deals with human sin. And these questions, I think, are very relevant today because it is very difficult to think about life in other outer space, carbon-based life, intelligent beings out there. If God did create them, because God is the creator of the universe, not just of the earth and of our solar system, but of all that is, the heavens and the earth, the visible and the invisible, if these beings exist out there and they're intelligent, it would seem to imply that they have some type of free agency and freedom of the will. Would they then be sinners? If they are sinners, how would that then relate to their relationship with God? Would God need to become incarnate and go to that planet and somehow bring about salvation? These issues really begin to muddy the waters, because as we look to the Scriptures, it's true that nowhere in the Bible does it say there is no life anywhere else in the universe. But when we do look at the Scriptures, we find that Adam and Eve are the first human beings, and that Jesus Christ came to this planet. He died once and for all for the sins of humanity, there appears to be a earth-centric and human focus of the great redemptive events of the Bible. And if we began suggesting that there's life in outer space, there would be serious Christological and theological issues that we would rub up against. Now, Thomas Aquinas suggested that, well, yes, all of this is true, but maybe God would have some other way of redeeming people that would not interfere with the incarnation. But I have to say, as a person trained in theology, that that's speculative, and what we find in Scripture are these great truths that seem to not comport with this kind of idea of life in outer space.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's January the 12th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. By the way, if you're getting a busy signal, keep trying. We're going to be freeing up some phone lines in just a second. Our email address live here in studio for questions and comments, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones. We'll talk with Marlene. She's calling from Wisconsin Rapids in Wisconsin. Marlene, welcome to Issues, Etc. She's listening on WGNV. Hi, Marlene.
Hello. I have a comment leading up to a question. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay. Well, there are people who really believe that these beings exist. I mean, they believe they have seen these aliens. I believe it's a lie from the devil. I mean, I think the devil wants us to turn our eyes away from Jesus. So my question is, could these RFOs, you know, and these aliens that these 5 million people claim to have seen, could they actually be demonic, maybe even demons?
It's an excellent question, Marlene. Ken.
I'll hang up for the answer, okay?
Thank you for the call.
It's a very good question. I would say that while it's always possible that some of these so-called encounters could be products of human imagination or resulting from some kind of psychiatric imbalance, I think that there are many reports that indicate that people actually saw something, encountered something, and that it cannot be explained purely by natural processes. I think when you look at the residual UFO phenomenon, they are not physical. They have paranormal characteristics. They are often connected to the occult, highly deceptive. They engage in anti-Christian theological viewpoints. This has led Jacques Vallée and John Keel, who are two longtime well-respected ufologists, neither one Christian. This has led both of those men to say that the closest you can find anything that is similar to the UFO phenomenon is in what Christians historically have called demonology. So while I think we need to be cautious and careful in drawing spiritual conclusions about this world, because the UFO world is a strange and unusual world, I think that it is consistent with Scripture to conclude that some of this phenomenon may in fact be energized by the demonic.
Now, you wouldn't say, very briefly, you would not say that everyone who has at one time or another believed that there's life on other planets or that there are UFOs in the sky are knowingly dabbling in the demonic or the occult, would you?
No, I would not. And again, I would say that the vast majority of people who've seen things or had unusual encounters even may have seen something very natural. I am suggesting, however, that there is a segment of this phenomenon, Todd, where people are really engaging in things that I think are occultic in nature. And again, there are people, though, unfortunately, in our culture who do dabble with occultic ideas and practices. There are people who believe in astrology and maybe it's not part of a great part of their life, but astrology is a religious ritual and belief system, as is magic and things of that nature. But no, I'm not suggesting that anytime anybody has seen something unusual that they're an occultist. I am suggesting, however, that when you tear away the veneer of this and look inside, you begin to see a very religious phenomenon and a paranormal phenomenon.
Let's go back to the phones. Phil is calling from Liberty, Missouri, listening on KCCV. Hi, Phil. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
How you all doing?
Very well.
Sir, I'm not a Lutheran. I don't know much at all. What little bit I know, I've read in the scriptures. But I had a brother that, you know, he believed in Christ and studied a lot about Revelation. And whenever he died, his daughter gave me this scrapbook and he was really into the UFO thing. But my understanding of the scriptures is that Satan is the prince of this world. Is that true, or is that your understanding?
Well, go ahead and make your point, Phil, and then we'll try and put it together.
Well, my point would be based on scripture. Okay, and so in the first place, if we went to Ephesians chapter 6 and start in verse 12, and it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, wherefore take unto you the armor, you know, of God, that you may be able to stand. I mean, it's all a battle of the mind.
All right,
you know?
So let me see if I got this straight. Are you basically concurring with the last caller that says the UFO phenomenon is a demonic phenomenon?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that at all.
All right.
Because it's not of God.
Phil, thank you very much for the call. Your response, Ken?
Well, I think we have to be slow and deliberate in drawing the conclusion that UFO phenomenon is occultic or demonic. But nevertheless, I think that careful inference and conclusion can be drawn. When we look to the scriptures, it's very evident that the realm of the demonic, they're capable of performing counterfeit miracles. Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. Even in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, there were people in the pagan, ancient, Greco-Roman world that were involved in occult practices of predicting the future and spiritism, and Paul rebukes the demonic influence behind those things. So I think it is certainly clear from a scriptural point of view that we do live in a world where it is a worldview conflict and challenge, and it's certainly the case that for many people, UFOs are not just fun speculation about whether there's life in outer space or what somebody might have seen in a cornfield, but they're deeply involved in a religion, and that religion has deep spiritual repercussions.
And I would say this, folks. Just because you saw a light in the sky or a falling star or whatever you thought it might have been doesn't mean necessarily that you saw some demonic activity. You may have seen an airplane. You may have seen a flock of seagulls. Who knows what you saw? But those who look at these things, delve into them and find the paranormal, the UFO, the extraterrestrial explanations, buy into it, then they may be dabbling in beliefs that are completely incompatible with biblical Christianity. And again, what we're talking about is maybe 1% of these sightings. The rest can be explained by natural means. If you'd like to receive a free tape of our two-hour discussion on UFOs and extraterrestrials, you can contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues, Etc. They'll send you a free cassette of this broadcast. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address right after the show. When you call or you write the church that sponsors Issues, Etc., be sure to thank them for their sponsorship and their support. We'll be right back with Ken Semples talking about UFOs.
For truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues Etc. each weekday afternoon? All you have to do is go to our website at www.issuesetc.org. Click the worldwide KFUO logo, and from 3 until 6 Central Time, 4 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 5 Mountain, and 1 to 4 Pacific, you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues Etc. Monday through Friday. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Folks, we're going to be continuing our interview with Ken Samples on UFOs and extraterrestrials live in the next hour on the Internet. You can join us by going to our website, issuesetc.org. If you click on the worldwide KFUO logo you find there, you can listen live, issuesetc.org. We'll also be taking your phone calls during the next hour at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We'll let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment, 1-800-730-2727. We also have that email live here in studio for questions and comments, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening, January the 12th. Write this number down. Give us a call in the next hour as our conversation continues. 1-800-730-2727. If you get a busy signal, keep trying. We'll be taking Ken and talking to him for another whole hour. 1-800-730-2727. The email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We will also be giving away a few copies of Ken's new book called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men to the very best callers and emailers in the next hour. Ken, before we go back to the phones, I wanted to set something straight here, and that is, if we recognize the incompatibility between a belief in extraterrestrial life and what Scripture teaches about the singular origin of man, the universal fall into sin, God's desire to save all fallen men, all fallen creatures, and the singular incarnation of Jesus Christ in human flesh and his atonement for all sinners at the cross, if we see that incompatibility, does that rule out believing in life on other planets in the sense that there may be plant life, there may be microbiotic life on other planets?
No, it doesn't rule that out. We're, of course, talking about sentient life, intelligent life, some kind of life that would qualify as free agents. It's certainly very possible, as NASA and various exobiology organizations are looking at the possibility of whether there may be primitive life, some kind of bacterial life or the remains of life on planets such as Mars and other places. It is also possible, however, and I think this needs to be considered, you know, that there is what scientists call ejecta, that is, dust and particles and plants get pushed out into the atmosphere and on all of the planets, and therefore there is things that travel around the solar system, dust and particles. It's possible that, you know, life's remains from Earth may have actually gone to Mars rather than there have been, you know, kind of early primitive life on Mars. So there are lots of speculations and possibilities about how we're to look at these things. But obviously, if they found some kind of primitive form of life on Venus or somewhere else, that's not what we're ruling out. What we're dealing with are beings that can make moral choices, that have the capacity of sin, that are then in relationship with God, and how that would affect the great redemptive truths of historic Christianity.
Johnny is listening in Green Bay, Wisconsin on WEMY. Johnny, welcome to Issues, Etc. Okay, we'll get Johnny back here. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. Jim in San Marcos, Texas, listening on KIXL. Jim, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, this is Tom from Clinton Township, Michigan.
All right, we'll get it all straightened out here. Hi, Tom, welcome.
Hi. Well, at the time I was living north of Detroit in the suburbs, and a friend and I were out in the street playing ball. And this was at night. It was totally dark, and it appeared like a plane was coming down low over us with its landing lights on. And there was a neighbor in the neighborhood that used to take us, in fact, flying in his Beechcraft Bonanza airplane. So we assumed it was him. And it came over us slowly, floodlights, you know, large beams out front, went over us really slow. Then, lo and behold, we couldn't believe it. It just shot, like, straight up, and it looked like it went up maybe 50 miles. It was incredible. We ran. We got this friend of mine. We got his father outside. He watched it, too. This thing zoomed across the sky. I mean, in, like, you know, 100 miles. You know, we're used to airplanes and flying in it, so we had an idea what this thing was doing. And it was actually like shooting, you know, out into space, and then it would come back down and out and around, and we just couldn't believe it. And the next day, this neighbor's, or my friend's father, called the local Air Force base. They sent a man out, and we filled out a form, and that was it. But over the years, you know, I'm a Christian, and I was thinking about this, you know, what I experienced, and I was out in Hawaii. I talked to people that basically saw the same thing, and then I heard reports, and it seems that, you know, this phenomenon has incredible speed. This one article I was reading by an airline pilot who experiences basically the same thing I saw. He felt that, you know, it says in the last days there'll be strange sights in the skies, and he tied that in with UFOs, and he seemed to think it had something to do with the spirit world.
Thank you very much for the call. What do you think, Ken?
Well, Tom seems like a credible person. He, you know, he claims to be Christian, and calling a Christian talk show host, he doesn't seem to have an axe to grind, doesn't seem to be pushing an agenda, so I'm going to take what he said as being legit. Many people have seen unusual things during World War II. Both Allied and Axis pilots saw unusual things pacing the aircraft. The Allies thought it was, advanced Nazi technology. The Nazis thought it was something that General Motors had made. I've talked with airline and military pilots about unusual things that they have seen. Of course, there are many questions that I think should be appropriately asked. You know, did this appear really to have some kind of engine? Was it, how big was it? Is there a military base close at hand? Is there some natural way of explaining this kind of thing? And of course, you know, we do have advanced aircraft, and if someone were to see some of the advanced aircraft and the things that they could accomplish, it would look extremely unusual. And I think we also have to ask questions about, were there other people who reported this, and how do they explain this kind of thing? Todd, I think it's interesting, and I don't know exactly what to say to Todd about this. But I would say that it's interesting that often the government, when they are asked about test craft, again, F-117 stealth fighter or the B-2 bomber, they actually give misinformation about it, because they don't want anybody knowing about what kind of aircraft the United States of America is developing.
Now, we'll need to talk about that in the next hour, about the whole role of the government cover-up or the government conspiracy that often goes along with the belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials. 1 minute to answer this question before we go.
Sure.
If I claim that I've seen a UFO, does the burden of proof lie with you, Ken, to disprove what I have seen or experienced?
No, I don't believe that it does. This is a great question. Because I'm a philosopher, one of the reasons I was interested in looking at this issue and trying to evaluate it is I care about issues of knowledge and evidence and fact and what things prove and what they don't prove. I don't feel that it is the obligation of a person to somehow disprove what people say. I think it's generally true that if somebody makes a claim, that they have to share a certain burden in presenting a case that is reasonable and that has some basis for acceptance. But I don't feel burdened as a Christian apologist to be able to explain everything or to be able to disprove things. I would simply say that there are many things in a universe as large as this, and as our experiences are so varied, that I can't explain everything, but I don't feel the burden of proof is on me. I feel all of us have a burden of proof to try to support the things that we think are real and true and good.
Ken Samples, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been my pleasure.
You know, beyond the burden of proof, we as Christians must acknowledge this. This is, in its essence, really a theological question. What has God done? Has he created other life? We know that the world was plunged into sin and the curse with Adam's fall, and that he provided the only way out through the incarnation, the human incarnation of his son Jesus Christ, who died here on this planet. I do not see a way that good news can be maintained with a belief in UFOs and extraterrestrials. Therefore, it must be dismissed. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.